Live from the Rowe Auto Group Westbrook Auburn Studios, it's Ray Richardson on WLOB 100.5 FM.
It is 8:06. You're listening to 100.5 FM. Good morning. I'm Ray Richardson. Thanks for joining us. Looks like a glorious day outside. I hope that it is. I hope you get a chance to get out and enjoy it. We're broadcasting live from the RoeAutoGroup.com studio. Don't forget our McVetty's Hearth and Home text line. By the way, Pete McVetty will be here tomorrow at 7:30 to talk about reforms at the Pentagon. The McVetty's Hearth and Home text line is 207-409-6172. You can find out more at stovesofmaine.com. Dope Sax, Brad Dyer, the birthday girl, Dee Dee Richardson. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey. Happy birthday, Dee Dee.
Thank you.
Today's the day?
Today's the day.
I didn't know.
She's like
today
31, 32 years 30, old.
I think 39.
Yeah, add 30. I'm 61.
Oh, I was really just trying to be helpful.
Well, thank
I guess
you.
That didn't matter.
You know what? I have earned every gray hair and every scar, and
your hair looks like
them.
It was made gray on purpose.
No, it's natural.
That's actually your color? I thought it was like silver and cool looking.
Nope.
Right?
That is my
yeah,
color.
That's true.
I thought that was intentional.
Nope.
Wow,
well,
you were lucky.
Well, God did it that way.
Wait, sure. Yeah. I mean,
it's very rare that gray looks youthful.
Yeah.
But you
exactly
you
what
it.
Dove said.
You can tell he's a
go.
Lawyer.
There you go.
Wow, he's a diplomat. If
Your
anything,
Honor, what my client was implying there.
Yeah.
Been there many times. Been
no,
there
I,
many
you
times.
You know, I've never understood the whole hiding how old you are because
yeah, it doesn't make
all
sense.
All those years are what make you who you are.
I've seen pictures. You don't look any different. And I hope that's not an insult.
No.
No. She has retained her youthful beauty.
It's exactly.
It really is
a glow.
It is extraordinary. She, you know, I mean, people, when they meet Dee Dee, they get a little bit of a clue because of the gray hair, but... You know, most people think she's in her late 40s or 50s.
It's like, Ray, you're a cradle robber. Like,
she has, what? Well, you know, actually, it's really funny because back in the day, that's what people thought,
yeah.
that Dee Dee had married a much older man. I'm really only just barely 2 years older than her. But, yeah, she doesn't have any wrinkles. She has a
just
very
barely.
Youthful experience. Yeah. Very youthful experience.
All right.
My wife doesn't dye her hair anymore. She's like, I'm done with this.
Well, and that's the thing, you know, if you embrace it, and I said this to her at the time when she said, look, I'm tired of dealing with this. She had been rocket red. She had been purple.
Well,
she had been all kinds
of
stuff.
Both
and
of those.
Yeah.
And I just said to her, look, you have such great style. Unfortunately, often when women just decide I'm going gray, that's it. You know, I'm old. I'm done. I said, don't do that. And she said, do you think I would? And I said, well, I don't think so. But as you can see, she rocks this look.
Mm.
We were in D.C. at our hotel, and we were standing outside waiting for our Uber. And what did the lady say?
I love your hair.
And can you tell me who styles it? Because
yep.
this was a random person we did not know.
Yep.
They were waiting for their Uber like we were, and because we were at our hotel. And, you know, it happens all the time to her. So it happened up in Freeport. I was just telling her how beautiful she looked. And she's like, oh, no, you're just saying that because you love me.
It was a wet, dreary, yucky kind of day.
But she has style, you know. And so I was telling her, I tell her all the time how beautiful she is. And she's like, well, you just say that because you love me. And a lady literally walked up to her and said, can I take your photo? I want to show my stylist your hairstyle.
Oh, that's awesome.
So, you know, yeah, I'm bragging on her, but I deserve to brag on her because she's wonderful.
There you go.
I haven't met too many women. When you say, you know, you look beautiful, they're like, you would just say that. Like, no, I'm not that guy. I just won't say anything.
Yeah, I can attest to that. Brad's not that guy.
I just won't say anything. Do I look fat in these jeans? Yes. You asked. I don't know what to tell you. Don't ask me if you don't want the truth.
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't get asked that one very often, but occasionally.
Yeah, we, I just, you know, I think a lot of my heart shines through. And
God, that is exactly what I was thinking.
What I missed? Oh, yeah. What shines through?
My heart. It shines through. But you got it now. Thanks. I have a firm belief in my faith, and I just think it shines through.
You got a personality too, and that it's authentic. That's the cool part. Like, you can tell immediately. There's only a few people in my life that generally, when I see them, I gotta hug them. You're on that list. Trust me, I don't give out a lot of hugs. I didn't today, but normally if I haven't seen Dee Dee in a while, I've got to get a hug, and it's just something, it feels like you got to do it.
I feel that way every day.
You're obligated, man.
I'm not obligated. I do it out of choice.
I feel like the faith piece that you mentioned is the key to the youth. Otherwise, life will just grind you down.
It does, man.
And so as folks get older, that becomes more clear.
Well, and you know, the thing about it is, since you guys talked about faith, that was Ryan Smiles from Fox. He was supposed to be on with us, but of course he can't because, well, you know. But anyhow, you know, the thing about faith is, as you get older, you shouldn't dread the inevitable. You should look forward to the inevitable, because then you get to go and spend eternity with the Father. I don't dread dying. I don't fear dying. I don't dread dying. Because I'm going to go see Jesus face to face. I mean, how cool is that? I mean, really, when you think about it, how cool is that?
Yeah.
I think about it all the time. I think about it all. You know, what will I do? One of my favorite songs is from Mercy Me. I can only imagine.
Yeah. That's what was in my head. Yeah. I'm like, yep.
And, you know, there's a line in there that says, will I dance before you, Jesus, or to my knees will I fall? I don't know what I'm going to do, but I can't wait to find out.
I know what I want to do. I'd really like to just shake his hand and say thank you. And then I got a lot of questions. Yeah. Do you have some time?
Can I have some coffee?
Yeah, like, sure.
I just want to say thank you, because I know what a bad person I am. And I know only because of his blood at the cross, I get to go to heaven. And I just want to say thank you.
That's, I still got a lot of questions.
Because there's nothing else. How do you? What else do you do for a person that gave their life for you? You, whatever you do, it's inadequate.
We
so
say thank you.
I just want to say thank you. Yeah. I just want to hug Jesus and say thank you. So I don't fear death. I'm not saying I'm looking forward to it, because I've got a beautiful wife and great kids and great grandkids and a good circle of friends. But I don't fear it. And, you know, when that day comes, I'm ready.
And a guy yelled at me once. He goes, aren't you worried about eternity? I said, I'm just trying to figure this out right now. I mean, I've had some thoughts, but, you know, right now I'm just trying to figure out what I'm doing here. And he was dead serious, fire and brimstone. Very well-meaning man, but it's just eternity. Well,
the theology is such a radical twist on what the secular world is living by these days.
Yeah, yeah.
Just in what you said, Ray,
that
recognition of your sinful nature.
Yeah.
As opposed to the secular mantra of I'm a good person, right? It's radically different.
You don't ever hear me say, I'm a good person. No one's ever heard me say that unless it's a joke. No one's ever heard me say it. I know I'm not, because the Almighty not only knows my actions, the Almighty knows my thoughts. And if mankind knew my thoughts, they really would really think I'm not a
that's
good...
That's why I don't drink.
Nobody
needs to know my
thoughts. Yeah, I have a hard time with so much that's going on. Yeah, I have a hard time. You know, one of the hardest things for me to deal with is when someone is being intentionally hurt. And those girls at Freeport High School were intentionally hurt over rigid political ideology, not anything else.
Let me ask you a question and challenge that for a second. I think there's some that would say that boy that is dressing like a girl got hurt. And I'm not implying that we shouldn't, these are issues and this should stop. But I think people are, you know...
How did the boy dressing like a girl get hurt? They made a choice.
I think it's publicly putting them on display. And I'm not arguing that they're not putting themselves on display, because there they are.
Where is the parental council? This is still a child.
Yep, I agree.
They definitely, almost definitely have it framed as a, you know, very social justice-y, doing the right thing.
Of course. Yeah, this is the right thing.
Courageous.
This is kindness. I think kindness is not belittling and berating a child like that.
No one's doing that in this studio.
No, they're not. And there are plenty of people who are. Like, they can't separate the fact that that's a child. That child is not an adult. So they're not making competent decisions. They're making decisions, I think, out of confusion. But it's being kind to these folks and understanding they are struggling with something. But when you have parents or people in the system that coddle that raise them up and say, no, this is right. What you're doing is right, and this is good, and it's appropriate. There's responsibility for adults who are doing that.
Well, you know, it's
a huge responsibility, yeah. Because what should be happening with this child is this child is struggling. Anytime you're a boy and you think you're a girl, or you're a girl and think you're a boy, and that's something that is being acted upon. I think that's the proper word to say here.
I think it's a disservice.
It is. Of course it is. This child should be getting intensive therapy and counseling.
Absolutely.
In a lot of different ways.
But the medical boards and such, like if you talk to psychiatrists, child psychiatrists, they can't push back. If a kid shows up and presents, you know, I feel like this or whatever, then they're not.
But you know what?
They're not able to challenge it anymore.
I can't. I'm short. It took me a long time to understand that I wasn't going to grow any taller.
Mm.
I wanted to be taller, but I never grew.
You just have to say it nowadays, like I'm taller.
Well, and that's just it. I can say I identify as tall all I want. I would love to be 5'10", whatever it is. But in reality, I still can't reach the glasses on the second shelf.
I've got a family member that I often say is a therapist. Mm-hmm. Deals with children quite often. The transgender issue comes up. And it took him a long time to finally say, this is disordered thinking. I hope we're representing that well. It's disordered thinking. There's something wrong with a child like this. But also, they've been really clear that coddling that belief is destructive to the child. It is the conversations that happen in those therapy sessions are careful, but Dove, like what you said, there's so much of the industry will punish these professionals for stating the truth, and they've bought into it, and that has to stop. And a lot of this has continued on because what I like to say is the grown-ups in the room, the professionals, aren't saying, no, this is not appropriate. And parading a child on a sports team that is a young man pretending to be a girl on a sports team it's not appropriate. It should not be allowed. And it should not be allowed not only to the protection and benefit of all those young ladies, but for that young man or that young woman who is struggling with the issue.
Absolutely.
Saying no to children is appropriate.
I played Serena Williams, who is arguably the greatest female tennis player in history. And I played her response to being asked about this. And she said, look, Andy Murray wanted to play me, you know. And Andy Murray, I think at the time, was ranked third or fourth in the world on the men's side. And Serena is arguably the greatest female tennis player ever. And she said he would beat me 6-0, 6-0 in about 5 or 10 minutes.
Is he the 138th ranked guy that she ended up playing?
He might have been, but at one point he may have even been ranked first in the world. He won Wimbledon a time or two and what have you. But her only point was men are faster. They move more quickly. There's a difference between quick and fast. A lot of people don't know that, but there is. They're stronger. They hit the ball harder. She said, I love playing girls tennis. I don't want to play against boys. This is the best, arguably, in the history of the world at tennis. I would argue that. Steffi Graf, I would love to see who won if Steffi was in her prime between Serena and Steffi Graf. But you could argue, make a really good argument, Serena's the best in the history of the world. And that was her comment. And who would know better than her?
Well, she's right. She did end up playing the 138th ranked player, I believe it was his position, and got smoked.
Yeah.
Now the difference between 138 and 5 is probably not a substantially giant difference, but she still got beat, and it made sense to her. It wasn't like, oh, woe is me. Like, how's that a thing?
No. She got that.
She's incredible.
So this is Congressman Eli Crane. And this ideology has become so ridiculous that we are spending $240 million on studying transgenderism in animals.
What?
Yeah. And after he speaks, as a short clip, I'm gonna give you the rest of the details here. The rest of the story as what was his name?
Morrow. So
what's that?
Morrow?
No. He was a radio guy. Oh, shoot. I can't think of his name anyhow. All right, here it is. Here it is.
It was just yesterday in an oversight hearing that I asked Chairman Comer if we could get some therapy dogs up here because of some of the meltdowns that were going on. I had no idea I'd walk into this hearing today and see three beautiful beagle puppies, and I've noticed that my mood's already improved, so thank you guys for bringing them there. I think we should make it mandatory.
He was, of course, being facetious here because of what was being talked about, and here's what's being talked about. $240 million in taxpayer funds was spent on transgender surgeries and animal experience, prompting congressional lawmaker to question...
Experiments?
What'd I say? Experiments. I'm sorry. Thank you, Dove. Eli Crane is a congressman out of Arizona, and he said this is insane, right? During a February 6th House Committee Oversight and Reform hearing titled Transgender Lab Rats and Poisoned Puppies, Oversight of Taxpayer Funding Cruelty. All right, so here we go. In a lot of these cases, they involve mice, rats, monkeys who are being surgically mutilated and subjected to hormone therapies to mimic female to male or male to female gender transitions, gender-affirming hormone therapies, and then looking at the biological, psychological, and physiological effects of the gender transitions. Looking at the effects of taking vaccines after you transition these animals from male to female or female to male, looking at the size of their genitals changing after you've put them on estrogen or testosterone therapies to transition them. In one instance, here we go, a $1.1 million grant was handed out to give female lab rats testosterone to mimic transgender male humans and observe to determine if they are likely to overdose on a rape drug.
What?
Are you kidding me?
What animal was that?
That's nuts. It was a lab rat.
Who comes up with this stuff?
Yeah.
Well, there's so much going on here, you know, because a lot of this is coming out of the USAID money, right?
That they're tracking.
So this is the DOGE auditing effort that's happening all across the government. And
it's only going to get crazier.
Right. It's every day there's new revelations that are just off the wall. And the message is like, oh, my goodness. Like, it's not an aberration that the money's being wasted and God only knows what. It's the norm.
Yeah.
And then that's just an incredibly potent realization.
So here's the money shot.
Mm.
Paul Harvey was the guy's name. Here's the rest of the story. Yes. You've heard that part, right?
Absolutely.
Here's the rest of the story.
Wonderful.
This is from Representative Eli Crane, who is a congressman out of Arizona. Anthony Fauci lied to the American people about mask, vaccines, social distancing, gain-of-function research, and the origins of COVID-19. On top of these egregious actions, he also authorized more than $200 million of taxpayer funds for transgendering animal testing.
And if there's one thing Americans hate more than anything, it's cruelty to animals.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah, you can abort a baby and nobody thinks a thing about it, but if you are cruel to a puppy or a dog, they want you locked up for eternity.
Cause Christine Noem, well, vice presidency.
For, yeah,
yeah. The great thing for Fauci is he can just never be touched. For his
well,
insanity.
He's been pardoned, so he's...
Yeah. I'm not... I honestly, they need to challenge this whole pardon power, because I don't know how you can pardon somebody for something you've not been charged with.
It's happening. It's going to unfold.
My other question is, if he was mentally incapacitated, I mean, the man was not in his right mind.
Fauci?
Biden.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean...
You could argue that you could undo anything he did.
That's my question. If they go in and they say, you know what, he really wasn't capable of making these decisions.
Well, he didn't make them. We all know that.
You'd have a whole presidency undone.
Yeah, you would. I disagree with the challenging of the pardons. I do. The Constitution clearly gives the president the right of absolute pardon. I think the founders did it for a reason. I think treason is the only place you can't do it. And so,
well, how do you pardon somebody for something saying, "Hey, you
well,
know,
we did." You got that precedent was set with Ford when he pardoned Nixon for crimes he may or may not have committed.
That should never have happened. We should have challenged it then and done something meaningful. Yeah. The whole idea that I can say, so we know we think you've done these things. We're charging you for these things, but just in case you did a lot of other crazy crap, it's okay. We're going to pardon you for that. And I just don't know how.
I agree.
I agree.
It's taking the level of political power to the level of only, you know, God has.
Well, yeah. Look. Well, exactly.
What do you mean? You're forgiving sins that we don't even know about? It can't be right. And I think.
Well,
but
here's the thing, though. And I always go back to this. We had the most corrupt human being in the history of the presidency for 4 years, named Joe Biden. There has never been a man more corrupt than American.
Woodrow Wilson was pretty bad.
He was bad, but he was nowhere in the level of this guy. Nowhere the level. And all of this is coming out. And it's all the stuff that I told people before the election and during his presidency. And much like with the Russian collusion, I spelled out what happened and it all came out because I did the work to know. Plus, I followed Joe Biden for the entire time he was in the Congress. He's a mediocre human being
very
who
much.
Aspired to the presidency and finally found a way to get it. So I just think that we don't change our system because we had the most corrupt human being in American history as president.
I think that's what's brilliant about our system, though, is when you realize that man has figured out a way to abuse the system, then you've got to go through the amendment process
and
change
that. What you're describing with Ford was basically, however it was worded, everyone knew what we were talking about, Watergate,
right.
Around it over a particular few months, basically a year or so. Juxtapose that against this, which, and that was Ford, not related, you know, political rival in many ways. Here you have the president on his way out, not just the 11th hour, but literally as Trump's taking the stage,
right.
Pardoning his own family for all these things that everyone's just denied even existing.
You guys are really innocent, but just in case you're bad.
It's such a next level relative to what.
Oh, I agree with all that, but I think what Joe Biden did, and I said this months before he did it, if he pardons his brother, the jig is up, and he admits his and his family's corruption, and then he pardoned everyone, which I did not anticipate, to be honest with you. I knew he was going to pardon his brother because of all the corrupt crap these people have done, but for anybody that actually cares, and there's a whole lot of people in this country that do not.
Sure.
But for anybody that actually cares, it just indicts Joe Biden completely for everything he's ever done. And I'm satisfied. History is going to treat Joe Biden very cruelly.
Yeah, we'll watch that unfold. I just want to make a point about the transgender issue here in Maine, because we've talked in recent weeks about, you know, what's changed.
We can't take any calls,
yep.
Can we hold it to the other side? Because
sure.
We're not going to have any interruption because we can't take calls.
Oh, so we got a little system issue?
Got a little system failure this morning.
Okay.
Little. I think we would call that down in Grady. Well, that's the squash capital of the country. We got a little system failure going on. Maine's locally owned and locally operated pharmacy has gotten a little bigger with a new store in Rockport. Community Pharmacy now has 9 locations to meet your needs. Find out more at CommunityRx.com.